welcome to another super duper fun packed edition of Fun Kid Meets, where we bring you excellent, interesting people to hear all about all the crazy stuff that they're getting up to. And my good friend Bex is with us today. Hello, Bex.
What a surprise! It's me again.
It's you once again, Bex.
Sean, I was going to ask you, I think the last three at least have been interviews I've done. Do I get some kind of like connecting, like do I get a medal? Do I get a kind of a gold, silver or bronze kind of certificate here?
We all know that Robot's the man in charge of where all the Fun Kids medals get dished out. But how are you? How are things?
I'm very good, thank you. I, as usual, am reading my way through a bunch of books. You know me, Sean.
She loves books.
Love them. Absolutely handy, isn't it, in this job?
Very, very much so. And who were you chatting to this week?
All right, so this week I spoke to Ben Bailey Smith, who a lot of our listeners may know as Doc Brown. He's a comedian, he's in a lot of stuff on TV, and he's written a brand new book.
He's had a rebrand. Why is he not Doc Brown anymore?
I don't know, actually. I didn't want to ask him that, because I actually have seen him live as a stand-up comedian called Doc Brown. I think maybe this is like his serious kind of phase, like, you know, he needs a proper serious name for this. Fun behind-the-scenes fact, we caught him in between rehearsals, but I have no idea what he was rehearsing for, but he's obviously rehearsing for something in theatre or TV as we speak.
Wow, top secret performances are going on. Bex getting the sneak peek behind the scenes. We love to see it. I'm presuming that there's a very interesting book at the base of this chat.
Yes, there is, actually. I genuinely love this book. It's called Something I Said, and it is about a young boy called Carmichael who finds out he's obviously very clever, but he's also funny, and he goes on a bit of a journey of finding out how best to use his abilities, and also how to not upset the people around him, I would say.
Interesting. Well, that takes us on to the Fun Kids Bingo, which is where I drop. Well, the Fun Kids Meets Bingo. It's just not the general Fun Kids Bingo cards at the ready. So Fun Kids Meets Bingo, it's a game that me and Bex play where I try and guess what she spoke to our guest about. My first guess in Fun Kids Meets Bingo is going to be, I think there's going to be some chat about stand-up comedy, because Ben's obviously a stand-up comic. I think it's always best to write about things that you know about. So I reckon there's going to be some stand-up comedy vibes in this book, Bex.
I think, you know what, Sean? I don't want to give too much away, but that's a safe bet, I would say. I think that's a very savvy and clever, intelligent idea you've had there.
Yeah, sometimes I like to go for the easy pickings. I think that is definitely one of them. And I think also as well, back in the day, I remember Ben, when he was under the guise of Doc Brown, he actually took over the Fun Kids Breakfast Show with me and Robot. And I could tell that that was probably one of the best days of his life. So I would be sure that he would mention that monumentous day in his existence to you, Bex. Because I'm sure that's what he just goes on about all the time. Whenever he's on a chat show, wherever he's being interviewed, he always likes to mention the time he took over the Fun Kids Breakfast Show with Sean and Robot.
It's a very big time in his life and your life, clearly.
I'm looking forward to hearing him chat about it again, reminisce about the good times. And I think finally, what's the book called again? Something I Said.
Yes.
I want to find out what that was. What was the thing that he said? What was the something that was said in particular? I want to know what it is. And I'm hoping that you're going to find out in this interview, Bex.
Okay, well, three very interesting ideas there, Sean. I can already imagine what I'm going to give you points-wise at the end of the interview, but I guess we have to listen to the interview to find out how right or wrong you were. So I'm joined right now down the line by comedian and author Ben Bailey Smith. Hey Ben, how are you going?
Hey, I'm really, really good. As usual, my life is frantic and I'm running from one place to another. But I'm fully focused on Fun Kids. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, you old charmer. That's what I love to hear. Thanks. I just finished your book this morning and it is an amazing, epic adventure. I loved every second of it. It must be just so exciting to see it coming out.
You know, it's an absolute dream come true. It's so, so hard to write. I've never tried to write a novel before and I found it really, like, probably one of the biggest challenges of my life. So it is so satisfying to see it. And, you know, people telling me that they've read it, people such as yourself, it makes me feel very proud, especially and excited, especially because I haven't actually held one in my hands yet. So hopefully that's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh man, yeah, I have a proof copy sitting next to me right now. We should tell the listeners it's called Something I Said. Also, in a good way, you've packed a lot in. There's a lot of writing there. And it's all about Carmichael. Can you tell us about the character?
Yeah, it's about a 13-year-old kid called Carmichael Taylor. He's a kid from London who, what's the best way to describe him? He's not a bad kid, but he's what you might call a smart aleck and a bit of a big mouth, you know, which is maybe hinted in the title. You know, sometimes we say, "Oh, is it something I said?" when someone feels like that you might have been a bit rude. So we find out quite early on that he's had more than a few issues at school because of things that he's said. He just finds lots of things funny, you know, in life where you see something funny happen, but you don't mention it to anybody because you think it might be rude to say it. He always says it. He's one of those. And eventually it winds him up in serious trouble with his school. But at the same time, it puts him in a position where he's got the opportunity to become famous because of his big mouth. So it's a strange double-edged sword and a challenge for this kid to decide what to do. Does he use this skill, this big mouth skill, to find fame and maybe fortune, but also lose his school place, maybe lose his friends, maybe lose the respect and love of his family? Does he try and do the right thing and ignore this incredible opportunity? So it's a story of a life-changing moment, I guess, and a life-changing choice. And, you know, it's a story about karma and, you know, what happens when you do good things, what happens when you do bad things, what the results of your behavior are. And most of all, it's like you say, it's a big old epic comedy adventure with laughs on every page.
It really is. It's such a fun book. I was hooked in immediately. It was just one of those books. I'm annoyed at you for this, but it meant I just went to bed really late because I couldn't put it down.
So we should advise kids to maybe start a little bit earlier.
Or, you know, just take a torch to bed and turn the torch on under the covers. But yeah, it is such a good book. And you also have Alex as well, who is one of my favourite characters. Alex is Carmichael's best friend, and she's just really, really fun. But she also has her best friend's interest at heart.
Yeah, she's my favourite character as well. I loved writing for her because of the way her brain works, you know. She's not quite a space cadet. She's a bit more switched on than that. But she is very much sort of full of her own imagination. She looks at the world in a very particular way. And I think that's why her and Carr get on so well, because they both have very singular outlooks on life. Neither of them take things too seriously. They both try and find humour in everything. And they're perfect sort of partners in crime, if you like.
Yeah, and they have a very similar sense of humour, which helps, I guess, because Carmichael's special skill is his stand-up comedy abilities. Did you have to use your own experience as a stand-up for his performances?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, they always say write about what you know, and I was nothing like Carr as a kid, but, you know, when I thought about that age-old rule, write about what you know, I thought, well, I know what it's like to be a 13-year-old boy, because I was one. And I know what it's like to be a stand-up comedian, because I was one. So I kind of put the two things together, particularly for the scenes where he is performing. You know, the nerves, what goes through your head or doesn't go through your head if you're having a tough time. All of those things are directly from my own experience as an adult doing it. You know, it's just one of the most scary things you can do. You know, you ask most people and they'll tell you public speaking in front of people is their worst nightmare, you know. So trying to get that across in a book came 100% from my own experience. I didn't have to do any research, you know.
I really felt it. When you were describing him being on stage and hearing or not hearing the crowd cheering and laughing, I felt like I was there. There are a few pages where my heart was like, oh no, what's going to happen? You described it so well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it really was what I was trying to do. The interesting thing about a book is you have that space, you have that time to really dig deep into feelings and emotions. You know, I always remember my sister saying to me once, because I was saying, oh, you know, the movie's never as good as the book, you know, when they make a movie out of a book.
Yeah.
And she said to me, well, think about it. You know, in a book, a character comes down the stairs for breakfast and you can describe how with each step that person, what that person's feeling, maybe the third step reminded them of something from their childhood. The fourth step, they felt really sad. The fifth step creaked and it made them scared. And you could do that over three pages that could take you 20 minutes to read, you know, whereas in a movie, he just walks down the stairs, you know?
Hey, it's good advice. Now, you did say you write from your own experiences. Have you ever kicked a chicken?
I've definitely not done that, but I've pounded a chicken before. I remember one time I was making what they call spatchcock chicken, where you sort of spread the meat out and you have a special hammer. So I was sort of thinking about that in terms of the feeling of hitting chicken flesh, because it's actually, you know, it's not that different from human flesh. It's quite weighty. There's a lot of it, and kicking a whole one is not like kicking a football. You know, you would definitely hurt your toe.
It is quite chunky. And now, before I let you go, Ben, there's one thing I've got to do. Every author who comes to Fun Kids does a little quick fire round of questions, if that's okay with you. So first off, easy and gently, books or Kindles?
Oh, books. Yeah. All day long. I mean, I got a Kindle as soon as they came out, because I thought, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, you can take it on holiday and you don't have to carry lots of books. And it is cool, especially for reading at night. But you know what I hate is that when you finish a book on Kindle, there's nothing to show for it. I like to finish the book and put it on my bookshelf and I feel like, oh yeah, I've read that one, you know? Feels like more of achievement. So books every time.
Yeah, I get you. For me, it's more the smell of a new book. Heroes or villains?
I like villains. I've just played a couple of villains in a row in two different TV projects, and it is so much more fun, because it's like all the naughty things you want to do in life that you can't do, you could do if you were a supervillain. And I'm not going to be a supervillain in real life, so to pretend is great. And I love reading about villains, and I wouldn't say Carl Michael's a villain, but he's definitely, you know, he's not perfect, and I much prefer those kind of characters.
Oh, they are much more fun. Do you prefer stand-up comedy or acting?
Oh, I mean, they're so different. The feeling that you get from making people laugh live out loud on stage is incomparable. Nothing's as good as that. But then at the same time, acting is more fun, I think, because you do it as part of a team. You're never alone, whereas up is really scary because you're always on your own. So I think maybe acting just edges it, because I like messing around with other people.
Oh, right, you like having a gang around you. Fair enough. Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
I think TV adaptation, because like I was saying, that example of walking down the stairs, I think with a TV adaptation, you have more time, more breathing space, so you can do the long walk down the stairs and show you how a character really feels over time. So yeah, for me, TV.
TV, good. Okay, Hogwarts or Narnia?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think probably Narnia. Only just, though.
All right, only just. Laptop or write by hand?
That's a very interesting question. I write more by laptop, but only because I'm scared of losing things. I think there's more soul in writing by hand. I only just found out that Philip Pullman writes by hand, which
really
just blew my mind.
Oh my goodness, can you imagine the notebooks he must have?
Who writes those up, eh?
Camden or New York?
Oh, that's another really tough one. I'd say it's Camden by a nose, only because it's so heavily linked to my childhood, so there's nostalgia there for me.
I have to say, I live in London, very near to where you were describing in the book, and I've never seen it written down before. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's funny, because it's such an iconic place when you think of the people that have passed through Camden. But
you don't often
read about it or see it in programmes or movies or anything.
Or seeing just normal people who lived there before. Normally you just see famous people. That was the bit I liked about it.
Mm.
Do you write 9 to 5 or when you fancy?
I only write when I fancy, unless I'm forced to. So with something I said, there was a time limit, you know, so I had to write every day. But I'm at my best when it's, I feel like writing. If I just open up the laptop or have a blank piece of paper and I get up at 9 o'clock and I say, right, let's go, very little happens. Most of the time it's like, oh my gosh, quickly, find a pen, you know, that's the best stuff.
All right, you've got to be in the zone, I appreciate that. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Another really tough one. I'm going to say Pooh, just because, I mean, I love Paddington so dearly, but Pooh can make me cry as well as make me laugh, so I think he probably just pips Paddington.
That's a very good reason, I'll give you that one. And finally, this is the last one, and the most important, cheese and onion or salt and vinegar?
I mean, for me, it's salt and vinegar all the way, yes! But it does depend on the brand.
Okay, so, right, what are we talking here?
So, you know, if we're talking Walkers, even within Walkers, like, so Walkers normal crisps, salt and vinegar and cheese and onion, I don't really like either of those. The salt and vinegar's too strong and the cheese and onion's too strong. But Walkers baked, the cheese and onion's delicious.
Oh.
And the salt and vinegar's average. But in general, over all brands, I prefer salt and vinegar if it's sort of more like, you know, the fancy ones like sea salt and balsamic vinegar. I like it where there's a bit more flavour. Cheese and onion's always a risk in terms of your breath for the rest of the day.
That's the problem,
so if it's
right?
Not Walker's baked cheese and onion, then it's salt and vinegar every time.
Well, that is the most in-depth answer I have ever had for that question.
I'm pretty serious about snacks, so that shouldn't really be a quick-fire question. You'll have to get me back on the show to do a 15-minute chat about snacks.
Thank you so much for chatting about the book. It's going to be our Fun Kids Book of the Month for June, because I believe it comes out on June the 10th. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I've picked it as our Book of the Month. So, Ben, thank you so much.
What a lovely chat with Ben.
He is super-duper nice. I genuinely was trying not to kind of fawn over him too much, because I did really enjoy the book. It's quite a thick book. I didn't want to say this to his face or over, you know, online. It's like, I've got it next to me here. I've got the proof copy next to me, which makes me feel very clever, let's face it. It's got 369 pages.
Wow, that is a lot.
You know, as an author yourself, that's quite a big book, right? Yeah.
I think our book was 370, but, you know, it's not a competition.
Oh. Okay, sure.
Also, just in case, if you don't know, so a proof copy of a book is like a special secret early copy that only special people get delivered.
Thank you for telling people that I'm special. I appreciate that. It also, interestingly, it's quite fun to get a proof copy, because sometimes it does mean that when you get the final book afterwards, maybe the names of characters have changed, or perhaps in the proof copy, as I did find in a few proof copies recently, the spelling and punctuation is wrong. Which makes me feel great when I'm like, I got this and they didn't realise. But I never say that to the authors, obviously, because that is incredibly rude.
Amazing. Right, let's get on to the Fun Kids Bingo. That first one was obviously an easy win. There was mention of stand-up comedy. In fact, to be fair, Ben basically said what I said word for word. You've got to write about what you know.
He sure did. So, Sean, you get a big tick for that. Congratulations. That was an easy point, but hey, the easy points are still points.
Thank you very much. The next guest was one which absolutely astounded me. No mention of the fact that he took over the Fun Kids Breakfast Show with me and Robot.
I can't believe he didn't talk about it. Maybe I should have brought it up on your behalf. I'm very sorry that he didn't mention that for you.
Don't worry, that's okay. And finally, we didn't actually find out what the something was that was said.
Well, we didn't, you're right. But I was going to give you like half a mark for that, because I thought technically the something he said was his stand-up routines in the book, and he's just trying to figure out what he's saying that is good and what is less good and what works and what doesn't work. So I was kind of going to give you half a point, to be honest.
That's very generous of you, Bex, but I was after the detail. I was after the exact quote, but I'll take that half point.
Are you telling me you wanted a specific sentence in the book that was like, I thought, or something like, I said, it was always a great space, and that was something I said. Is that what you literally wanted, like a word for word kind of?
Yep.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk myself out of half a point. If you want to find out, though, what the something that he said was, you've got to check out the book.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I can't give away my very exciting proof copy, but yeah, if you do check out the book, it's really good fun. And it's set in Camden in North London, which is a place I know really well, so reading about it was quite cool. And it's also, it's just, you really love the characters, and it feels like it could very easily be made into a CBBC series, I would say. It sounds like, it feels like it's very episodic, and I can imagine it being, it's probably, let's face it, the rights have probably been bought as we speak, because it would make a very good TV show.
I can tell you, from an author's point of view, you've always got half an eye on that CBBC series adaptation, don't you worry. Or a Netflix one. Ooh, spicy.
Even better. Well, yeah, hopefully Ben has done that for himself, because the book is really good and it would easily translate into TV as well.
Excellent stuff. So make sure you go and check that out. And that is it for Fun Kids Meets this week. Will Bex be back next week? I think there's a high probability that she might be. But I'll tell you who will definitely be on the podcast next week, and that is someone very, very interesting. So make sure you go and subscribe to check out.
I was going
to
say yourself.
You never know, Bex. I don't know what's going to happen in the next week. Anything could happen.
Well, I'll be tuning in, probably because I'll be on it, let's face it.
See you next week, guys. Bye.